Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our senior pastor, Reverend David Riley, and is titled, There's More. It's based on the gospel lesson of Luke chapter 20. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning and welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church here in Westfield, Massachusetts. We ask for God's blessings as we gather around the sacraments and His inspired word in person today. And we also ask for God's blessings upon those individuals who will be watching us on our YouTube channel.
The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson for this Sunday comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. There came to Jesus some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. They asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her. And likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die any more, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." And some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For they no longer dared to ask him any question. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. There's more. What wonderful words for you and me to hear. Imagine that you are at a concert. The music is beautiful, and you have had an incredible evening to enjoy. And it looks like the musicians are getting ready to leave the stage. But no, wait. The musicians are coming back for a couple more numbers. They're coming back for an encore. So there is more. Or imagine you are opening presents at Christmas time. The wrapping paper is scattered all around the floor. And beneath the tree, it is empty. But then someone brings in another large armful of presents. There's more. What wonderful words for you and I to hear. The immediate context for today's gospel reading has our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ cleansing the temple after his triumphant entry in Jerusalem, recorded in chapter 19. Chapter 20 reveals the verbal arguments thrown against Jesus, in which our Savior easily dismisses them. And chapter 21, which contains Jesus' predictions of the destruction of the temple in the holy city of Jerusalem. Chapter 22 begins with the plot to kill Jesus. Our text, therefore, is located in a time of highly charged hostility against Jesus that will lead to his death. And for the emphasis of this text's debate, especially his resurrection. In our gospel text for today, we find Jesus arguing with a group of religious leaders called the Sadducees. The Sadducees were part of the priestly caste, typically wealthy, and they fought hard to preserve the status quo. While they held only to the Pentateuch, and rejected all oral tradition, they still clung to the temple and to its sacrificial system. They were aristocratic rationalists and materialists who denied the resurrection and the divine judgment after death. They refused to believe in the immortality of the soul, even as they also denied the existence of angels. The heart of the controversy is between two phrases. Jesus on one side saying, there's more. And the Sadducees are on the other side. And they are saying, there's no more. Well, what were they talking about? They were engaged in a debate about the resurrection of the dead. Luke tells us, There came to him, Jesus, some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. They asked him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her. And likewise, all seven left no children, and they died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as a wife. The Sadducees did not believe that the day would come when people would rise out of their graves and their bodies would become alive again. One way to remember what the Sadducees did not believe is to make a word play on their name, exactly as I did with the children just moments ago. They were sad, you see, because they did not have anything more to look forward to than what happened at death. Now, they were usually the well-off leaders, and so they could enjoy this life on this earth. But when death came, they had no joy, no hope, because that's all she wrote. There is no more. So on that day, they were sad, you see. Jesus answered them, but in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, For he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. When God speaks to the prophet Moses, we know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have been dead for hundreds of years, centuries. That is, from our human point of view, by quoting the Pentateuch, Jesus is using the Sadducees' own scripture to show them that God's promises to the patriarchs can only come true for the patriarchs themselves if they have a future life beyond this world. If God is to be the God of the living, then those who lived in the time of the patriarchs will one day live in the time of the fullness of the resurrection. Jesus taught that when someone dies, there is more to come. And he wasn't just talking about going to be with him on death, wonderful as that is. No, he was talking about the end of time, the last day, the day our bodies will rise up out of the graves. Whatever that grave may be, whether it be a casket or an urn or the deep blue sea or simply bones turned to dust in a desert, there is more. Think of it this way. There's life, the life that you and I live right now, day by day, and then we die. And then there is life after death, when the souls of those who believe in Jesus Christ will go to be with Him while their physical bodies are left behind. Then there is, as one biblical scholar described it, as life after life after death. That is the last day resurrection of the body when it is reunited with the soul. That is what Jesus Christ was talking about. There's more. There is a final day resurrection of the body. The Sadducees said, no, there's no more. And Jesus said, oh, yes, there is. The group called the Pharisees pretty much died out after 70 AD, about 35 years after Jesus' bodily resurrection from the dead. But they're teaching that's all there is no more, still lives on today. You may remember those so-called experts that always pop up around Easter time, who deny Jesus Christ's resurrection, or the atheistic groups placing messages on buses and billboards such as, there's probably no God, so stop worrying and enjoy your life. Many people try to take away Jesus' resurrection and with it our own resurrection from the dead. What you're left with is the Sadducee spirit that says that the only life you are to enjoy is this one. Because since there is no God, there is no more after you die. But perhaps the most disturbing trend is how many people don't believe much of anything at all. Several years ago, an article in USA Today reported on a surge of spiritually apathetic Americans. A couple of statistics were shocking, at least to my point of view. 44% spent no time at all seeking eternal wisdom. And 46% said they never wonder if they will go to heaven. Close to half of the people surveyed are saying there is no more to life than what we are living right now. How sad you see. You and I may not be among those who deny the resurrection or are so spiritually apathetic, but the spirit of the Sadducees still lives on, even in our own hearts, even in our own minds. Have you ever felt that way? that there's nothing more, that there is no more, that this life is actually all there is? Sometimes the doubts are there. You may look at a body in a casket. You may see that that body doesn't move. The grave looks to be so final. You wonder, is this really all there is? Could this possibly be it? Is that there is no more? Perhaps you are so caught up in everyday life that you are more like those apathetic Americans than you would care to admit. Are you too busy to think about the resurrection on the last day? Are you too connected to television, to the movies, to music, to cell phones, to the Facebook, to X, and to the entire internet to give much thought as to what more there may be? Are you too worried about the bills or a family member or your retirement to get excited about a there's more sermon? That is the Sadducee spirit swirling around in our hearts and minds. There is no more. But Jesus Christ says, oh yes, there is more. And just before this battle with the Sadducees, he told his disciples he would go to Jerusalem. There he would suffer. There he would die at the hands of those Sadducees and the Pharisees. But that would not be all that there is. Jesus also said that after 3 days, he would rise from the dead. Not long after that, everything Jesus said would happen did happen. Jesus suffered. He died. He was buried. But on Easter morning, Jesus turned every that's all, there is no more, into there's more, so much more waiting for you. Think of the Apostle Thomas. He didn't see Jesus on that first Easter day, but 1 week later, Thomas was there. Jesus appeared to all of the disciples, and he let Thomas touch him. Thomas could see that Jesus had flesh and bones and blood. And what does the Apostle Thomas say? My Lord, my God. His whole life changed from there's nothing more to there's more, so much more. Thomas believes that not only will there be life after death, but there will also be life after life after death. Just like Thomas, you and me need to believe that our God is the God of the living, not the dead. We need so much more than the spirit of the Sadducees if you and I are to live in hope and joy. Go back to that hypothetical story in our gospel text of the woman with the 7 husbands. The Sadducees tell it to show how utterly ridiculous the resurrection of the dead is. But I see it as showing us just how very important it is that there is more. The woman is married, but has no children. There's great sadness in the home. And then her husband dies. Imagine her profound grief. Then it happens again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, 7 times. You know what she needs. She needs hope. She needs to know that there's more. She needs to know that life after death will be more wonderful than she can possibly imagine, because this life was not. The woman in our fictional story needs to see Jesus Christ turning her losses into victories. And so do we. We need to see Jesus Christ turning our losses into victories. And he does. The resurrection is all about Jesus Christ turning our losses into victories, our death into life, our sorrow into joy, our weakness into faith, and our futility into glory. Dear friends in Christ, think about it. What is the leading cause of death? Birth, being born. And as soon as you and I start breathing, you and I begin to stop breathing. And if that's all there is, if there really is no more, then what a depressing way to live. But Jesus Christ says, there is more. There is life. There is life after death. And then there is life after life after death. That is reason to hope. That is reason to rejoice. And that is reason to live life to its very fullest right now. Hear this statement again. On Easter morning, Jesus turned every, that's all, there's no more, into, there's more, so much more waiting for you. And now may the mercy, love of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Our closing hymn today is number 917, Savior, again to Thy dear name we raise.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.
Savior, a King, to Thy dear name we raise. With one accord, our parting Him appraise. Once more we bless Thee. Ere our worship cease, then lowly bending, wait Thy word of peace. Grant us Thy peace upon a homeward way, with Thee began, with Thee shall end the day. Guard Thou the lips from sin, the hearts from shame, that